Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Every day brings more than the day before. Open any door and say hello, hello, hello. Just say hello, hello, hello.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. The guitarist and songwriter Dan Zanes often says that his gigs resemble Grateful Dead concerts. A little laughing, a little crying, some rolling around on the floor, and a whole lot of dancing with wild abandon. But at a Dan Zanes show, you're more likely to get knocked in the knees with a juice box than hit in the head by a beer bottle. That's because the former rocker has established himself nowadays as one of the leading performers of music for children, as well as their grown-up companions. Yesterday's New York Times called him, quote, one of the hottest acts in family music designed to appeal to little kids without sending their parents into diabetic comas, unquote. Dan Zanes joins me once again here in our WNYC studio. Dan, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Hi, John. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
So this New York Times article yesterday, I mean, not specifically about you, but you were in it because it's about a kind of rise of a children's video industry.
It's been an interesting thing to see happen, and it's been a lot of it has been on the noggin. Digital cable channel, and they started really actively trying to, develop with Lori Berkner, develop some videos, and then we talked to them, and they said, if you give us something, we'll show it, and it just seemed too good to be true, really, and in fact, it turned out to be great for us, but it's, as I said in the article, but I'll say it again because it's really true. I could be touring every night of the year and still TV exposure is reaching families that just would never know that I was out there.
Right. Now the Times article sort of, you know, towards the end, they say the fact that Noggin, this, you know, Nickelodeon digital channel, has made a believer out of you, of all people,
yeah,
is really quite a dramatic development.
Yeah, I had been at meetings and people had talked about TV to me, and I really, for about 4 years, the first 4 years that we were doing this, I really wanted nothing to do with it. I don't think it's good for kids the way it's used these days or abused these days. But I also think there's some good things out there, and it felt like it was the right time. I also want to survive. That's survival is, I think, a key ingredient in all this. And if it can be surviving in a way that I feel good about and that feels artful. And for me, everything I do is with the intent of trying to make music making seem like a good idea for anybody who's watching.
So it's not about me, Dan Zanes, making music and you sitting there watching. It's about me getting you up off the chair and getting you to bang on a pot and a pan and sing or do something musical.
Hopefully that when you see me play and I'm with my band and we're playing instruments that I think all look fascinating, when you see accordions and upright basses and tubas, I think those are pretty interesting, just as a starting point. But when you see people playing music together, if it can be done in a way that's not... I think sometimes the danger is with television and videos that there's the 10-foot stage, colored lights, tight pants, the scarves, and you think, well, if I'm just sitting on the front steps with my friends and we're singing Yellow Submarine, that doesn't really count. But I'm hoping that when we do what we do, it seems like a group of friends playing together, and I hope the message is, you could do this too. It's a lot of fun, and don't leave it to the professionals. So TV seemed like a vehicle for that message.
Okay, so do try this at home.
Yeah.
So now your new DVD, Dan Zanes and Friends, it's called All Around the Kitchen. Basically what you were just talking about, is this meant to also, you know, kind of suggest just a group of friends hanging out and playing tunes?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the name of a song, but it's also for me really a concept. And when we've gone to make not only the videos, but especially the CDs that we've made, the four family CDs, my goal was always to have it sound like a house, people in a house. And I think that's where music has always lived, in homes, in neighborhoods, in communities. And the stage is sort of an odd place for it. And the studio is an even odder place for music. So the sound of a nice, clean studio recording, who cares? Why would that inspire a four-year-old? But when I grew up listening to Lead Belly records, I could picture Lead Belly in my kitchen playing, and I could picture myself right there with him. And that, to me, the visual image was so powerful. And that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm trying to have with these records, is that sound, people in a house playing together.
Now, where do you make these records?
In my house.
All right.
In the basement, but I recently cut a hole in the kitchen floor so we can run mic cables up into the kitchen, and now we can join the cables together and get all the way up into the parlor floor, where I've been recording recently. We actually recorded the Kronos Quartet in the parlor floor about 6 months ago, doing a Lead Belly song for the new CD,
wow,
doing the Grey Goose. So the parlor floor, that's the sound right up there.
So you can actually be sitting around the breakfast table and making a record at the same time.
Exactly. And that's when I talk to the Kronos people, or Debbie Harry or Loudon Wainwright or whoever the people are that come and guest, they say, you know, I want to try and present you as if you just went over to my house. We finished eating and we pushed back the chairs and sang Waltzing Matilda. I want it to be artful and soulful, but still have that same sound.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of encompasses the audience too. I mean, audience participation is like a big part of your live shows.
The more that wall between the audience and the performer is eliminated, I think the better it all feels, and the closer we get to our end result, which is we're all in this together.
Well, now, sometimes you're in front of the audience, but sometimes you're in the audience. And what are you looking for in that experience?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I've been thinking about it constantly since last Tuesday. I went to SOB's and I saw the when my daughter and I and my wife can agree on something to listen to, it's a momentous occasion. And recently that's been a Mexican pop singer named Julieta Venegas, or Venegas. I think it's Venegas, but okay, I'm not sure. And I saw that she was coming to SOB's. So I didn't try and find out if I just did what everyone else does. I went to the window. I bought my ticket. I was excited for the show. I listened to the CD before I went out. I did the whole routine, and it was such a good experience for me to go and do that and to stand there and wait for the show to start. I'm looking at my watch. Is it going to start on time? And and then to see the band come up and walk to the stage, and it was an incredibly moving experience. For me, if I go to a concert and I don't cry, it's not really a concert. But I was like a 12-year-old girl at a Beatles concert. I was just, tears were just streaming down my face. It felt like such a communal event. And she was having so much fun. And it was completely infectious. And when she sang the more well-known songs, the whole place sang along. It was just so moving.
This song is Andar Conmigo, and it's by Julieta Venegas. My guest is Dan Zanes. His new DVD is called All Around the Kitchen. The Mexican singer Julieta Venegas, she was at SOB's last week, and my guest Dan Zanes was there in the audience. Now, do you expect your audience to cry? Is it not a concert until you've made them cry?
I do look out and I see people cry, and usually the grown-ups are crying for emotional reasons. The kids are probably crying because they're hungry.
All right. Whatever means gets you there, I guess.
Tears are good.
Now, we're actually going to conclude this portion of the program with one of your songs sung in Spanish. This is from the DVD, All Around the Kitchen. I want to say that Dan Zanes is with us for the full hour here today, and in a little while he'll be performing live in the studio. We'll dig into some of your own Americana roots as well. But here's a song that features vocalist Barbara Broussal. It's called Malty, from the Dan Zanes DVD called All Around the Kitchen.
Got it. Should we run through it once, quickly? Awesome.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this song comes from a collection of traditional Zulu songs from an orphanage in South Africa. Now, we're not speaking with any of the kids themselves from South Africa. We are talking, though, to ex-rocker Dan Zanes, the singer and guitarist, joining me in our studio. And Dan, why are we listening to this song?
Well, I was thinking back. The challenge was to bring in a few pieces of music that really meant something to me. And over the past year, probably the most meaningful musical connection that I can't say I made it. It was just like everything else. I was along for the ride, but I got a call from my friend Lee Blake, who runs an organization called Keep a Child Alive, raising money for out of Park Slope, mm-hmm. one of your neighbors, raising money to buy AIDS drugs for kids and families in Africa. And she gave me the CD, and she said some of these kids from this orphanage will be coming to New York. And do you have any interest in helping them? There's another group called Love Hallie, and who were helping to finance the trip of these six of these kids from the orphanage, and they would sing at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Mm. And so this was last fall.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And Lee asked if I would help to get them together, and I mean, I wasn't even sure what was I going to do, but I said sure. And what it ended up being was they rehearsed for a day, and I hung out with them, and I was listening. Meanwhile, I'm listening to the CD, and I can't believe what I'm hearing. And then the kids showed up, and they had never performed in front of people before. They made the CD. Volunteers from England and Canada went down. They're in the global epicenter of the AIDS pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the CD was made as a way of drawing attention in conjunction with the documentary about really what's happening with AIDS in Africa. So these volunteers just thought, you know, we've got to help spread the word. So that's where the CD came from. So then these six kids come over, and I meet them, and they're singing, and Angelique Kidjo comes by, and she agrees to join them for
a
song.
Also lives in Park Slope now, by the way.
Yes, that's right. Right, and down the street from Lee Blake.
Yeah, it's a pretty small world after all, isn't it?
And so there we were getting ready that they would go at the Tribeca Film Festival, and it turned out it was a rainy day. There was an outdoor tent. These kids had never sung really in front of people in this way before, and someone had given them all raincoats, And there was a little crowd of people in the rain with their umbrellas, and we're trying to position a couple mics so that everybody could be heard. And the whole thing was kind of rickety in a way, mm-hmm. and people were still filming for the documentary. And So these girls were standing on the stage, and I stepped off, and I was watching, and nothing happened. And they just stood there, and they were looking out at the audience, and the audience was looking back at them. And then one of the girls opened her mouth and started to sing, and the rest of them all joined in, and then everybody started crying. Everybody in the audience, you could see this was truly not a dry eye in the house. And it was probably the most moving situation. I think people had a sense of their story, where they had come from, who they were, but the music and the singing and just that moment, everything came together, and it was the most, for me, the most emotional moment that I've ever had with music. And so that, in case I had forgotten the power of it all, that was my reminder. And I'm always happy to think back and to talk about it and to listen to their music again, because it reminds me. And they, over the 10 days that they were here, they became ambassadors for the other millions of kids in Africa with AIDS, or AIDS orphans, I'm sorry.
We're speaking with Dan Zanes. The CD that we were listening to is Tina Simunye, We Are Together, a collection of traditional Zulu songs. We asked Dan to bring not only his guitar in, but also some CDs that meant a lot to him. We heard Julieta Venegas before, and now this music from South Africa. You talked about growing up and hearing Lead Belly, but some of our listeners will know you from your rock band, the Del Fuegos, who were the best new band in all of rock, according to Rolling Stone magazine, back in 1984. How do all these disparate musical threads connect for you?
For me, growing up and listening to Lead Belly and then moving on and listening to Chuck Berry or the Cramps or the Rolling Stones, it was all the branches of the same tree. Anytime I heard anything that sounded like people in a room playing music together, to me, that was connected to the other music that I liked. I thought doo-wop, I couldn't really see the difference between Woody Guthrie and the doo-wop groups I was listening to. It all sounded like people were figuring it out as they went. And for me, the fun went out of rock and roll as it started to feel that there was a certain way that you had to do it, that there was a real roadmap, that there was a look and an attitude, and that was what rock was. And also there was a wall that went up between the audience and the performers.
Did you feel that when you were with the Del Fuego, when the Del Fuegos were hot and were touring and getting great critical? I mean, were you aware enough that wall was there, or is this kind of 2020 hindsight?
It's definitely hindsight. I was aware that the fun was going out of it, and also even though there was an amount of success, that started to taper off. And then it becomes the more your success falls away, the easier it is to think about other things in life.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, what really opened my mind was going to a bluegrass concert in West Virginia and realizing that the biggest bluegrass stars in the world, people like Ralph Stanley, Third Time Out, Jimmy Martin, they would play their set. People would be out there in lawn chairs. These guys would walk off stage and they would meet every single fan that wanted to hang out with them. And then the fans would all walk off and play their own music. It was paradise. I couldn't believe it. Everybody was in it together. And then I thought, you know, I'm never going back. I never want to do this if I can't do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't be connected to these people. And if I can't be in a world where everybody is making their own music, then I'm going to pack up and go home.
Well, certainly having a kid was a catalyst in your sort of second act of your music career.
Yes, the act which I didn't know existed until my daughter was born. But I just thought, well, you know, I grew up with this Pete Seeger and the Woody Guthrie and the Lead Belly. And of course, there's going to be the updated version of all that handmade folk sound. And when I went into the big record store and I looked on the shelf, everything seemed to be connected to a movie or a TV show. And I didn't find what I was looking for, but I really found a lot of good things. You know, I never want to sound critical of the music that's out there for children or families, because A, there's a lot of people doing what they believe in and really putting their best and their heart into it. whether or not it's my taste, who cares? But but also, I was just after the sound I heard in my head, and there was what was there was also a lot of really good, a lot of things that I really have enjoyed and enjoyed listening to with my daughter, but didn't find the handmade sound.
So a lot of it is music that has existed for decades, some of it from other cultures, from the Caribbean, from Latin America, wherever. It seems like you can find bridges between the generations in some surprising places.
Absolutely. And for me, thinking about what works for families and what works for kids, I think I'm not so interested in songs that talk about how do you tie your shoes or how do you eat with a fork? But I'm also not interested in songs about my old girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
So somewhere in between those two extremes, I think there's this whole world of what I think of as 21st century, all ages folk music.
So we're going to hear this song, Wanderin', which comes from your 2004 release, Parades and Panoramas. The video of this song is on the new DVD.
Yes.
Which is called All Around the Kitchen. And when we come back, we'll have a live performance from Dan Zanes, and we'll find out what's not on his iPod. Stay with us. You're listening to Soundcheck.
My daddy is an engineer. My brother drives a hack. My sister takes in washing, and the baby balls a jack. And it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. I've been wandering early and late, New York City to the Golden Gate. And it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. My guest is Dan Zanes, the guitarist, singer, songwriter, arranger. We're listening not to Dan Zanes' music, but to the Dayton family. Dan, tell us who the Dayton family are.
They're from Northern England. I'd only know a few things about them. They're from Northern England. A folk singer married a woman, a Malaysian woman. They had kids. Formed a family band, and that's it. It's a family band.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, I think they have three records out. It came out in the late 80s, early 90s, and I thought rock and roll had come and gone, the golden age was over, all that, those thoughts that come in our heads. And I heard the Dayton family, and I realized, no, it's still here, and without bass or drums. But so they're doing things like Matchbox, Money. They're taking 50s and 60s rock and roll songs, mixing them with traditional English folk songs, instrumental fiddle tunes, and it's just and there's tons of teenage energy to it, and it feels that there's always at least one or two instruments as a backdrop of every song that just float through the song, regardless of any sort of melodic pattern. There's just instruments that are doing their own thing, and it just gives it this air of free form. There's something freewheeling about it.
Kind of handmade music.
It's handmade, man.
It sounds there. It sounds exactly like the way you were describing your own records earlier in the show, you know?
They were kind of a blueprint, really, when I started. I heard them right around the time I was starting to do this, and it gave me such a huge jolt of inspiration, and I just realized anything is possible. You can take any song and put your stamp on it. It can be done.
So instead of Mr. and Mrs. Dayton and the kids, you're welcoming Lou Reed and Philip Glass and Sheryl Crow and Suzanne Vega into your home to record for your records. But the feeling is the same.
The feeling is the same.
The names are a little bigger.
And I have a core band with Barbara Broussel that we heard earlier singing Malty, and Cynthia Hopkins and Colin Brooks and Yoshi Wacky, and also Rankin Don, who's goes by the name of Father Goose. So I have this core of musicians that are all Brooklyn people that really kind of hold it all together. They're the glue that holds the whole project
together. So it really is a community. I mean, it is a communal kind of
absolutely
way of making music. Nevertheless, you are here solo with the guitar.
Yes.
And you want to give us a tune?
Yeah, I was thinking long and hard about what would be the right song for the occasion, and given the nature of the event here today, I do have a fundraising song, and I think I'll start it by teaching it to you so that you can sing it when I'm gone, and you could use it, really feel free to use it around the station as much as you need to. You'll all know the words. But it was a Salvation Army song. I think it originated as a gospel tune, and Salvation Army would use it, according to Carl Sandburg,
the poet.
In his book, The American Song Bag, he included this as one of the 280 songs. And he said that the Salvation Army bands would be on the street corners of Chicago, and this is one of the songs that they would sing to try and raise money.
So we're talking about, what, 1920s or so?
Probably the teens, 20s. Yeah, okay. The book came out in 27, and I think it was at least a decade of research that went into it. But I think that was his life was spent. Music was such an integral part of his life. And actually, working on this project, Parades and Panoramas, and looking at the life of Carl Sandburg and thinking of America in the teens and 20s of the last century, it couldn't have been more clear to me that music really was something that was fully integrated into the fabric of society, into people's everyday lives, and now it's a much more passive experience for us. But I always like to say I'm very optimistic. I really think that can change, and I think that as dark as these days are on so many levels, I think that it makes it all that much more clear that this music making that we can do together, it's more than just fun, but the fun gets you in the door.
Right.
But then you get that feeling of doing this with other people that's really, it's just so important. And it's so, it restores so much, for me, it restores so much faith in what we can do together. And it's very rejuvenating.
Well, between the coughing and wheezing of the record industry and all the new user-friendly technologies that are out there, I'm hearing what you just said from lots of people across the music spectrum who come in here and, you know, are optimistic about the future of music making.
Yeah.
So go make some music for us.
enough of my chatting.
Dan Zanes is my guest, and the song, courtesy of the Salvation Army some 80 years ago, is called Roll the Chariot. Here he is live on Soundcheck.
Well, I'll teach you the chorus. So wherever you are out there in New York, you can be listening to it and singing along. It goes like this. We'll roll, roll the chariot along. We'll roll, roll the chariot along. We'll roll, roll the chariot along, and we won't drag on behind. That's right, and we won't drag on behind. That's the last line. All right, here we go, everybody. We'll roll, roll the chariot along. We'll roll, roll the chariot along. We'll roll, roll the chariot along, and we won't drag on. Devil's in the way, we'll roll it over him. If the devil's in the way, we'll roll it over him. If the devil's in the way, we'll roll it over him, and we won't drag on behind. All right, we'll roll. Thank you.
Well, a collection will help us to roll it along. Collection will help us to roll it along. The collection will help us to roll it along. And we won't drag on behind. We'll roll, roll the chariot along. Roll the chariot along.
Oh, I could just hear the pennies dropping in the tambourine even now. Dan Zanes, live on Soundcheck with Roll the Chariot, an old Salvation Army fundraising song. It'll do double duty as a WNYC fundraising song for today. Dan, just very quickly, we asked you when we were setting up today's show what you have on your iPod, and you told us what?
I don't have an iPod, and it's not because I don't have the money, and it's not even because I don't like recorded music, but, well, I don't like things in my ears, for one thing, but I also think that the pod, that says something to me, and that's what I see a lot on the street, is that people are in their pods.
Ah, so it's the anti-communal thing, yeah.
So I'm just not sure, even if you take one out and you give it to a friend, and you each have, I'm just not sure. I know it's a good way to carry music around, but I don't know, John.
Well,
can't do it, and my daughter doesn't have one.
Come over to the dark side, Dan.
My daughter told me she's the only person in sixth grade who does not have one either, so we're all suffering.
Dan Zane's new DVD is called All Around the Kitchen. His new book, which we didn't even get to mention, is called Jump Up, with illustrations by Donald Saff. Dan, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, John. It's a real treat to be here.
We'll stop right there. Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo. Put your arms into wings. Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo. Then you flap those things. Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo. Fly around in a circle. Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo.